All right, everyone, happy Thursday. Welcome back to The Scarlet Edit. I am your host, Nikki Corbett. Happy March. Here we are, third month of the year. How are you guys feeling about it? I mean, I know there's nothing we can do to stop it, but I'm feeling a little festive with this March energy. I'm not sure why. You know, I kind of associate colors with energy, and I'm really feeling like greens and yellows and blues and just vibrancy. And I'm not sure if it is because in Arizona, it's been 90 degrees the last few days, and it definitely feels like summer, or if it's because of this lunar eclipse that is literally happening in the early morning of tonight. Does that make sense? So I'm recording this today. It's Monday. You're hearing it on Thursday. So very early Tuesday morning, there is a lunar eclipse where it was going to look like a blood moon. I am so excited about that and the energy that comes along with it. So I don't know if that's a reason why, or if it's just because I'm thinking about St. Patrick's Day for some reason. And that's always like fun and colorful. So regardless, we're in the third month of the year, and I hope that the first two were wonderful for all of you. I hope that 2026 is treating everyone well. And let's dive into this week's episode. So I was doing a little bit of research earlier today, and I came across an article that I felt I had no choice but to talk about here on the show. So Ashley Madison, they just dropped the biggest rebrand in dating history, and I want to talk about it. So if for some reason you don't know what Ashley Madison is, let me tell you. Ashley Madison is a website, and it is built on the tagline, "Life is short, have an affair." Long story short, they created a website to essentially facilitate affairs so people could have them discreetly. Back in September, I had their chief strategy officer, his name is Paul Keeble, on the show, and he shared so much great information with me, not only about the company, how it was founded, why it was founded, but also the data. They have over 90 million members worldwide. That is a lot of people. It is essentially 50-50 men to women, although in some countries, women outnumber men on the site. There was so much cool data that he shared. And I say cool, not because I think having affairs are cool. I think data is cool. I love understanding human behavior. And I think that that's why a lot of you who listen are so intrigued by the subject of affairs, because they are not, you know, it's not normal, and people don't talk about them because there's so much at stake. So I'm super intrigued to learn why people do what they do, and also why a website that helps facilitate them is so popular all over the world. But here's what's interesting. They did a rebrand and they changed their tagline. They went from "Life is short, have an affair" to "Where desire meets discretion." Okay, let that sink in a moment, because the number one reason why they made that change is because 57%, okay, 57% of their new users are identifying as single. That got me thinking, well, why is that? What is it that's making people want to join a website that was originally intended for married people? What it boils down to is discretion. I think that's the key word, is discretion. People are tired of having everything so public. And that's what I think is the biggest driver of this. Dating app fatigue is so real. I mean, if you are single and you've been on dating apps, you know that it doesn't matter which one you're on. They're all pretty much the same. Unless you pay, it is a total shit show. And even when you do pay, it's so much of the same thing, just with people that you might actually have a connection with. You swipe, you like, you heart, you connect. Conversations are pretty weak, if they happen at all. Sometimes it seems like you're just swiping on people, and it's all about the thrill of actually seeing somebody like liked you back. because then there's no effort. And quite frankly, I personally think that Bumble kind of ruined things, where when it came on board, it put the onus on women to make the initial connection. Because I think at the end of the day, as women, we want the man to reach out to us. We want him to put in the effort. We want to feel like he's pursuing us. At least that's what I want. I don't want to reach out to a man first, especially not on a dating app. And I also don't want to carry the conversation. I've said so many times, like, my back hurts from carrying conversations on these apps, which is why I don't use them anymore. But there's other reasons why people have dating app fatigue. 30% of dating app users cite just swiping in general is exhausting, and it's a total, I mean, I think it's a total time waster. 27% said that they have a fear of screenshots, which, I mean, come on. We've all screenshot a dating app, right? And you send it to your friends and you make fun of somebody, and then you stop for a moment, you go, wait a minute, has somebody screenshot one of my photos? And put it in a group chat making fun of me? Probably. I mean, if we're doing it, other people are doing it. And then I think a lot of people are tired of being public about their private lives. I mean, I don't know if this has happened to any of you, but I mean, I've seen people from high school on dating apps, and like, they try to match with me and just to be like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, okay, I haven't literally seen you in 20 years. Like, I'm not really interested in having a conversation. Or maybe you see coworkers and that can be awkward, especially if it's like somebody who has any sort of seniority over you. Or the really fun one, maybe you get matched or suggested to be matched with a sibling or a cousin. And I mean, thankfully that has not happened to me. I've actually never seen my brother on a dating app, but I know people that have, and no, nobody wants to see that. So what I think Ashley Madison is doing is very interesting, because they still have a lot of discretion built into their app and to their website. And no, I'm not saying this from personal experience, although I will say my interest is piqued if there are now an abundance of single people on that site, because you don't just go on there and put up all of your best photos and your little about me section. It still is very, very private. So you're actually reading about the person versus seeing all of their photos and just like hearting somebody because you think he's hot. So I will link that episode in the show notes if you have not already listened to it, because it was really, really good. And it is still to this day one of my most downloaded episodes. I think people are super intrigued on the data side of what is going on over there. So this rebrand got me thinking about something I haven't talked about yet on this show. And it is something that I think every woman who has ever been in a relationship with a married man, or if you are a woman who is currently in a relationship with a married man, you have experienced this. You are experiencing it. And that's the waiting. Waiting for a married man to leave is one of the most Googled phrases in the affair/relationship space. Isn't that crazy? And every single result is either a judgment-heavy advice column calling women stupid, a coach trying to sell a $300 program, or an anonymous forum post dripping with shame. I mean, I don't understand any of those three as far as them being the top results. Like, calling somebody who is clearly struggling with their relationship stupid is not a way to help. What kind of program could somebody sell that could help you get out of a relationship? I mean, maybe I'm not thinking strategically enough. I mean, I have a lot of advice and wisdom. I just choose to put it out on a podcast that anyone can listen to at any time. And then, of course, anonymous forum, you know, that's got to be Reddit and just shame, shame, shame left and right. You know, any site where you can post anonymously, like, that is where it gets really, really crazy, really dirty, really mean, really fast. But not one result on the first page of that Google search is from somebody who has actually been there talking about what waiting really feels like on the inside. So that is why I am doing this episode because I want to be what shows up for these women who are struggling, who are dealing with loneliness, who are trying to figure out what they're doing and reconciling it with the love that they have in their hearts and with all of the feelings that they have in the relationship that they are in, and trying to figure out like how they can talk about it and share about it when they know that nobody else understands like what it is that they're doing, why they're doing it, and the, you know, overarching feelings of love. There's so much there. It's crazy because I think about, you know, when did I first realize that there was waiting involved in this relationship? And I don't know, because I feel like I was just in a state of limerence for such a long time. It was like this extended honeymoon phase where we were just so in love and so obsessed with one another that we were in constant contact. We saw each other all the time. So it wasn't like I felt like I'm waiting for him to call or waiting for him to see me, because he was doing those things. It was more for me after time, when things, you know, got more comfortable and we knew each other better and we were involved in the day to day. And there wasn't those little things that you're like, oh gosh, I don't want him to be here when I use the bathroom, or like, you know, I've been in my workout clothes all day and I don't want him to see me like not looking kind of, you know, just freshened up. You know, when you get past those initial moments and you move into this different level of comfort, then it's like more things come to light. And I've explained this before on the show where I've talked about how, you know, the good outweighs the bad, and it's like this teeter-totter where it's like the good is just whoa, 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 so much. And then like the bad is just these little tiny things, and like little tiny things that bug you from, you know, now and again, but nothing that makes you go, I don't know that I like this, or I want this to change. But then you do get to a point where you're like, huh, like this is not that great. Holidays, perfect example. It's like, oh, okay, well, you're with your family this weekend and I'm with mine, and I'm probably not going to hear from you because there's going to be, you know, people in town. There's going to be people all over the place. You can't just like, you know, wander off and make a phone call. You know, even weekends when it's like, oh, hey, this is like, in my experience, it was like, oh, well, this is the only night of the week that you're home. So you want to spend time with children. Of course, that's totally okay. But it's like you end up getting put in the back seat. And then you're like, okay, well, are you going to text me? Like, are you going to call me? Are you going to have time? And the things that become normal, like I've talked about in another episode, like not getting phone calls, not getting texts, getting a text that says like, hey, I'm taking the kids to go to the movies. So I'll probably be, you know, away from my phone for the next like 3 to 4 hours because it's a movie and then dinner. And it's like, okay. And when you're not calling somebody and no one else knows about you, it's like, all right, well, what am I supposed to do? I mean, you want to know something insane? I literally had moments where somebody would ask me to do something. Like I remember one time, a guy that I went to high school with, he was like, hey, I'm going to be in your area for a work meeting. You want to meet up and like have a beer? We had both gotten divorced around the same time. So we definitely had, you know, some things to talk about. That time was after a high school reunion, and it would have been probably a really nice conversation. And I probably would have enjoyed just sitting and chatting with somebody that I had known since junior high. But I said no. I said no because I didn't want to miss a phone call. Like, are you fucking kidding me? How pathetic is that? Like, I look back on that and I'm like, what were you doing? You literally didn't go and do something that would have been fun because you didn't want to miss a phone call. Like, that's insane to me. You definitely get to a point where you tell yourself things to just make the situation feel better. Like, oh, like it's okay that like I only got a few texts today, or it's okay that like I'm not calling him in the middle of the day on a Tuesday to just say hi. And depending on what your situation is like, you know, I have said multiple times that he never gave me any false promises. There was never any false promises. So he was never, you know, telling me like, oh, eventually I'll leave, eventually we'll be together, eventually anything like that. But I told myself stories. I told myself like, we're meant to be together. There's no way we're not going to end up together. Like, of course we're going to be together. Like, look at this relationship. It's so perfect. It's so easy. It's so fun. We're best friends. We have the best intimate life. Like, I told myself all those things because I actually felt them. And so what the story I told myself was like, okay, like once there's no more little kids, like once, you know, he really sees all of these things, like once he realizes that, like, why would he ever want to give me up? Then, you know, I won't have to wait anymore. And it is a little nuts, I guess, looking back on things, because those were stories, like I said, that I told myself, but I believed them. You know, when you're with somebody who makes you feel like nobody's ever made you feel before, and when you're with somebody who says things to strangers about how great you are. I remember one day we went to a spa, and as we were walking, we were getting led back to the room that we were going to. The gal said, "Oh, are you celebrating anything, or what? Are you here just for a little R&R or whatever?" And his response was, "I just want to be with her because all I want to do is make her happy." Now, of course, that like sent me soaring to the clouds with like, "Oh my God! Like this is what? Like no one's ever said that. No one's ever done something like this for me before." And I'm sure some of you listening might be like, "Oh my God, that's love bombing." But I mean, this wasn't at the beginning. This was a couple of years into it. You know, this was like, you know, he had already got me. He wasn't trying to get me. Like he had already put in, like we'd put in some time. So of course you think like, well, if he feels all of these ways about me, like, it's only a matter of time before he's going to choose me 100%. Like there's just no way. There's no way that he can't. And it's crazy now to be on this side of it, knowing that like, yeah, he could. Yeah, he totally could. <You know? laughs> I mean, I'm laughing because like, it's true. But it doesn't mean that in the moment and in that moment in time that it wasn't challenging and it wasn't sad and it wasn't lonely. I mean, that's what's tough. You know, I look back at my Instagram feed and I see posts where there's two wine glasses. I see posts where there's a beautiful landscape. I see a picture of me in front of a beautiful Christmas tree. And it's like, I wasn't there alone. I had him. I was there, but I couldn't share it with everyone. I couldn't share, oh my gosh, we're here celebrating our anniversary, or we're here celebrating my birthday, or, you know, oh my God, you know, he took me here and I've never done this before. I've never been here before. It's wild. It's like this isolation, but you're so enamored and you're so entrenched in everything. And even the friends that do know, they struggle. I mean, I know the friends of mine that knew about this relationship, I know they struggled. And it wasn't because they were judging me per se. I mean, I'm sure they were. I mean, you can't help it. But I think it was more so because they love me and they wanted the best for me. And they wanted me to have all of those things, but have them out loud. They wanted me to have them with somebody that I could post on Instagram, somebody that I could tell everybody about, somebody that I wouldn't have to worry like, oh my gosh, am I going to run into somebody, or is, you know, he going to get caught by somebody? Like, that's what they wanted for me. I mean, I will say that with all but one friend, they're all still my friends today. And I love that. And I'm grateful for that. But it certainly affected things. You know, because it's like you have this huge relationship. It's arguably the biggest thing in your life. You're head over heels in love. You're having so much fun. You want to tell everybody about all the cool things that you're doing and just how joyful you are. And it's like you do and you can, but you can't because you know that deep down, like they want so much more for you. So it's this like internal game of tug of war that you have to deal with that makes things lonely. And then also, you know, on all these different days and events and timelines when you want that person to be there with you and they're not, you know, you want them at your birthday party. You want them at the holidays. You want your entire family to know them. It's exhausting. Just leave. That is quite frankly the worst fucking advice that you can tell anybody who is currently the other woman in a relationship with a married man. Just leave. Yeah. Okay. Like, how fucking easy is that? Guess what? It's not. Think about it. Apply that statement to any relationship. Anyone. It doesn't matter if you are with a married man. It doesn't matter if you're with, you know, somebody who is a single Pringle. Like, it doesn't matter if you're in a relationship that other people are like, wow, this doesn't seem to be serving you as best as it could, or you deserve better, or you deserve more, or you're better than this. Telling anybody to just leave, that is truly the worst advice, because all that does is make the person who should be leaving super defensive. And I don't know. It's, we never know what somebody is going through because we're not a part of the relationship. Okay. I don't watch a ton of TV and movies, but when I do, I often will rewatch things. And I do this for two reasons. One, because sometimes you just want something comforting, something that you know you'll enjoy. I actually read a few years ago that one of the reasons that sometimes we will go back and watch a TV series or a movie that we've already seen, it's because our nervous system like already knows the ending. So it makes us more comfortable to sit and rewatch something because we know there's no surprises. So I thought that was kind of wild because I've only ever one time in my life had a panic attack. And I was in China for work for 3 months and I had a panic attack and it was so, so scary. But I remember I just sat in the dark in my hotel room with the blinds drawn for like 48 hours and I watched movies from my childhood. And when I learned this about like, because my nervous system already knew the outcome of all of these movies, that's what made them comforting. And like, it helped me calm down. But I also like watching things that I've already seen because as we continue to grow and evolve as human beings, we see things through a different lens. One of the series that I rewatch on a regular basis is Sex and the City. And in an episode that I was watching just yesterday, Carrie was dating the Russian. What's his name in the show? Alexander Petrovsky. She was dating Alexander Petrovsky and Miranda did not like him. And Carrie was having a conversation with Samantha about it. And Samantha was saying to her, have you ever heard me ask you guys what you think about my boyfriend? Talking about Smith. And she was like, Carrie, she's like, nobody knows what happens behind closed doors. So I'm not going to say like, what do you think about this guy that I'm dating? Now, when you're in an affair and when you are the single person in the affair, you know, it certainly is a little different. But my point is that your friends don't know what goes on because they're not there with you. And like many people think that affairs are based on and rooted in sex. And yes, some of them are. Some people just want to fuck other people and that's why they cheat. Some people actually have real, genuine relationships with other people. So telling somebody to just leave, that's really, really tough. I think the best advice that I could give, if you have a friend who is currently the other woman, leave the door open for her to talk to you. Leave the door open for her to feel like she's not being judged if she needs somebody to talk to about it. And just try to really listen to what she says and remind her of the things that you know she wants. For example, if you have a friend who really, really wants to get married and have kids, and she's with a married man, maybe remind her or ask her, you know, do you see this relationship getting you to where you really want to be? And if you do still really want to have kids, is this the best way for you to be spending your time right now? And that's just an honest question, and it's an okay question. But telling somebody to just leave, it harms more than it helps. So that's just something to think about. So people have asked me plenty of times, you know, when did I know that he was never going to leave? And what did that look like for me when I decided that it was time to stop waiting? You know, it wasn't planned, I'll tell you that. I had been frustrated for months. I had been dealing with things like spring break and summer vacation, and we were approaching the holidays yet again. And I was just like, I'm tired of fucking waiting. And I had said that to him. I feel like I'm always waiting. Tired of waiting for your schedule so I know when I'm going to see you this week. Tired of waiting for you to call. Tired of waiting to know if you're going to be able to join me at an event. Tired of you not choosing me. And, you know, like I said, it wasn't planned. It's just something just massively shifted inside of me. And I was like, I cannot do this anymore. And this is going to sound pathetic, but remember that moment in Grey's Anatomy where Meredith is like talking to McDreamy and she's like, pick me, choose me, love me. Like that was the energy that I was in. I was like, pick me, choose me. Like what more can I do? What more can I say? What more can I prove? That I love you, I want to be with you, I would do anything for you. What haven't I proved over this time that we've been together? That you are not ready yet to choose me. And he just couldn't. I don't remember the exact words because unfortunately this was literally over text. Like it was over text and I was actually in my car. So like really great timing on my part to like lose my shit on text while I'm driving and like throw out an ultimatum. But he was just like, well, if you're asking me to make a decision right now, like I can't do that. So if that doesn't work for you, then you have to do what's best for you. That is not verbatim at all, but it was something to that tune. And I was just like, okay, I'm done. I am done. And it's really, really weird looking back to realize that I was done. To realize that like I didn't backtrack. I didn't say, oh, no, just kidding. Like, no, like it's okay. We'll figure it out. I didn't. But I had never ended things with him before. So I'm proud of myself that when I finally did, I really meant it. Because I knew then, and I certainly know now that I deserved more and I do deserve more. And I will never put myself in that situation again. But the point of this episode was to talk about the waiting and to talk about the loneliness that coincides with it and to talk about how your friends can be there for you, but also be, you know, judging and sad and wanting more for you, and how you can just tell yourself things and make things be normal that aren't normal and that shouldn't be how a relationship should be. And, you know, to give people who are Googling, what did I say that the people Google the most? Waiting for a married man to leave? oh my God, I want to give them something that's a little more hopeful and a little more powerful and some more strength behind it than a course or a mean Reddit thread. I want people to hear this and know, like, hey, you deserve more. That is why I created the Scarlet Edit, because you deserve more. You deserve the life and the love that you have always wanted for yourself. You deserve that. And being the other woman, take the good from it. Take the good from the relationship, because trust me, I know that there was good. There was so much good in my relationship, so much. I am grateful for the good, but I took that good and I left the rest because that is not the relationship for me. I deserve so much more. You deserve so much more. So if you are listening to this and you are that woman who is in that relationship, look, I'm not a therapist. I'm not trying to lecture you, but I'm just trying to tell you that you deserve more. And there is going to be somebody out there who will love you in the way that you need to be loved, and you won't have to hide it. And I say that as much to you as I say it to myself, because I am so convicted that the right person is out there for me. And have I found him yet? Nope. But I don't care, because I know that he's out there and I know that he's already mine. I am such a believer in believing that things exist before they're actually real and tangible in my life. Whether you're calling it manifestation, whether you're talking to the universe, whether you're talking to God, I mean, in the Bible, walk by faith, not by sight, right? Like, whatever your belief system is, believe that that person is out there for you. Believe that that is already yours. Believe that you deserve that and so much more, because you do. I actually had a woman DM me, must have been in December. We had just randomly happened to comment on the same thread, like on the Threads app. And I think I saw her comment on it and I commented to her comment, and then I left my own comment. So we ended up having a little comment back and forth. Well, she slid into my DMs and she started following me on Instagram. And she said, I'm so grateful that I found you. I'm in a relationship right now. I can't remember how many years it was. It was either 5 or 7. And she's like, and I know I need to leave. I know he's never going to leave his wife. And I have been waiting for so long. And I know I need to leave. I feel like God put you in my life for a reason. I feel like I found you when I did for a reason, because I know that I need to do this. Of course, I got chills and I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, you know, I'm sending you so much love. I'm sending you the biggest hug. I hope that you, you know, I hope you know that you deserve everything. And I know how hard it is to be in your shoes. But, you know, if you need a support system, like, let me know. I'm happy to be there for you. We went back and forth a couple of times. Then the next day she sent me a DM and she said that she had ended it that night before. And she was like, I'm so grateful that I found you. I know I found you for a reason. Like, that is why the Scarlet Edit exists. That is why I have these conversations. That is why I record myself yapping about this relationship, opening myself up to judgment, to scrutiny, to all of the things, because I want to help other people know that there is so much more on the other side of a relationship, that you are not getting everything, and that you do not have to wait around for a married man to choose you, because you should be chosen from the start. So that is where we're going to end it this week. That's where we're going to wrap it up. That was fun. That felt good. You know, sometimes recording these solo episodes is kind of like a little like solo therapy. I'm not going to lie. So as always, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening to The Scarlet Edit. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend, especially if a friend is in one of these situations or just needs to hear something positive from someone who's been in those shoes. Feel free to send it along. Remember to follow the podcast in your podcast app, so every episode is waiting in your queue every Thursday morning, and those bonus episodes that come out periodically. Thanks so much. I appreciate you. I love every single one of you that listen. We'll talk to you next week.